Best in Class podcast fans, a little treat today. It is Sean Sullivan, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru and your host. He is on the Ira Kaufman podcast in the latest episode recorded on January 30th before the Buccaneers signed their new offensive coordinator, Josh Grizzard. We've cut into the conversation, starting with a Chris Godwin chat. Sean talks about some prospects in this weekend's Senior Bowl and more. Enjoy. Ira Godwin. Okay, so now you've already said what Jeremy Fowler said. Big deal. You've said it.
I have.
That you expect the Bucs to go after Godwin, and you know they'll have a line in the sand somewhere if it gets crazy.
He's not going to get crazy money. Sean? Chris Godwin coming off a dislocated ankle?
You don't think Cohen will throw money at him?
Not crazy money. He's never been a one. He's never been a one. And there is a difference.
But he's been paid as a one.
Listen, you have a team like San Diego Chargers that would kill for somebody like Godwin to add to that.
To go with McConkey.
Playoff team.
The Spanos clan is going to do something smart.
You have teams out there that would give anything to have Godwin on the team. Ooh. But I think if this is our year, no one knows how healthy the guy is except for the Bucs.
It's right? True. They have the intel.
Teams aren't going to know how healthy he is.
Yeah, they have the best intel.
Right, so we're going to have the best opportunity to sign him, in my opinion, right off the bat. Because other teams are probably going to be a little more wary of his injury. He's had an injury history.
Now he's going to be 29, so maybe old age is catching up to him.
Here's where it gets very messy. Free agency dinner bell rings, whatever it is, March 10th. It opens up. So if he's not fully healthy on March 10th, then the Bucs don't really know where he is. They know his path to recovery, and they've been monitoring and helping him, but they don't really know. Suppose some team comes in and says, "We don't need to see it, Chris. We're going to bet on you." And the Bucs don't even know what they're betting on other than the man. That's right. Where it gets dicey, because somebody can call him up on the 10th and say, "This is what we got a 3-year deal for."
I don't think a team will do that without a full medical update.
I'm going to say I think we're going to have the best chance to sign him. If the Bucs want to sign him, they're going to sign him.
Sure.
And to Steve's point, this is the year. We're going to go into this year with a salary cap that's better. After the Brady era, we're going to be in better shape with dead cap money this year. We're going to have some money to spend.
Here's the linebacker I've had my eye on since he came out of college. He's with your Chiefs.
Nick Bolton. He's a good player.
Now, I don't know what the Chiefs...
He's a coverage linebacker. We can't cover anybody.
I don't think he's good in coverage.
He's more run defense than anything.
You don't think he's good in coverage? No, he's not known to be good in coverage.
Do you know how fast he was coming out of the...
Doesn't mean he can cover, though.
Hey, listen. Right now, we have guys that are running solid fives at linebacker right now. Right? Okay, like, not even sub fives. Like, solid fives.
Sean, this is something we've been debating here, especially me and Lee.
Oh, no.
True or false? Servassier Dennis has shown you enough in the flashes when he plays to think, this guy might be a player if he can stay healthy. Do you like what you've seen from this guy?
You know what changed my mind on it was the tackle that he made on Jahmyr Gibbs in the Detroit Lions game, where when we beat the Lions and when he was healthy.
Who tackles Gibbs in the open field?
Nobody.
Nobody.
He went all the way across the field. If you remember, it was 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-2. They tried to run an end around with Gibbs to the sideline.
On the other side of the field?
He ran all the way to the other side of the field and crunched him out of bounds. If you remember the play that I'm talking about, it changed the game, and that's the reason why the Bucs won that game, was that tackle. I thought when I saw that tackle, I think I even texted Lee. I said, wow, that's an impressive tackle. The guy's got to stay healthy. If the guy's healthy, he's a player. You know, he played safety and linebacker in college, so obviously the guy can run, and he can hit, and he looks like an intelligent player, but he hasn't... We haven't seen enough of him.
Fair enough.
Right? So to Lee's point, Lee's like, hey, listen, the guy's not on the field. I can't evaluate a guy that's not on the field.
But he's not a bum. He's not a bum.
I think he could start for the Bucs, but I don't trust him. Just like I don't trust Jamel Dean. If you're considering that the Bucs are supposed to make a Super Bowl run next year, I can't bank on that guy starting.
I don't like Dean when he's healthy, Sean.
So I know Jamel Dean. He's just like one of the best guys.
He's awesome, dude.
I think the hardest part about you guys being journalists is you guys meet these guys and spend time with them and get to know them, and then you have to criticize them. Right? That's a really...
I don't have a problem with it.
I know you definitely don't have a problem with it, but what I'm saying
he's ruthless.
It's when you know that they're really trying, when you know that they're actually trying to be a good player for the Bucs, and you know that they're putting in the time and they're putting and they're really, you know, Jamel Dean worked on his body the whole offseason. You know, like he looks like a football player, right? I mean, he really put the time in, and then he just continues to get hurt and hurt and hurt. It's just like one of those things where... But I personally think the problem with Jamel Dean is how we're... doing our coverages. My personal opinion is we drafted a hands-on physical corner, and, sure. we make him play zone.
We're playing to his limitations.
We literally played to the worst part of Jamal Dean. The best part of Jamal Dean, if you remember when he was drafted, we were laughing because he was getting pass interference calls because his long arms and hands were all over the receiver. They couldn't get away from him, if you remember. He was terrific as a man cover.
I got another question for Sean. Steve, this is a good one. Sean, you know Todd Bowles well over the years in terms of how he coaches. And I don't want to speak for you, but I think you were stunned and disappointed throughout the season about the style of defense, pass defense, that Todd Bowles asked the Bucs to play. Here's my question. If they fill in some of these pieces.
I wish we had a camera.
A corner, a linebacker, an edge rusher. With players that contribute significantly as rookies. Don't you think Bowles would change his coaching style? Or you think he's locked into playing soft coverage? That's Todd Bowles. He's not going to change. He's not going to be more aggressive if he had more players to bank on.
Well, Sean's thinking about that. When you were asking that question, he shook his head like his son told him he just wrecked the car.
I understand that. And now I'm very interested in his answer.
It's beyond frustrating, right? So do I think that he has forgotten how to coach a defense? No, I don't. Do I think that he adjusts well in game? I do not. And this has been my problem with Todd Bowles from the beginning is I am not an advocate to fire Todd Bowles. I'm not that guy. He is a steady force that has won while he's here. He's gotten better every year.
He has the respect of the room.
He has my
respect. Before Sean continues, I just want to say, if Sean was running the Bucs, Liam Cohen would still be the offensive coordinator. Now go ahead.
I understand.
So I think my problem with him is I've never felt like he had a full understanding of momentum in a game. And I listened to your podcast. I listened to your podcast, and the best example is this. We can talk about the Detroit playoff game last year, but let's talk about a more recent game that you guys discussed on your last podcast was what do you do on that fourth down and three when he kicks the field goal in the Washington game when you hadn't forced a punt in the entire game? What made him think in that moment with 4 minutes left that he was going to be able to stop the Washington Redskins, or team formerly known as the Redskins? What made you think as a head coach? Cause that's what I would like to ask Todd Bowles. Like, maybe I have a beer with them in Indianapolis and say, what on earth were you thinking? Or was that somebody in your ear telling you to kick the field goal? Was that somebody from upstairs saying,
ultimately,
kick the field goal?
He's got to trust
there's
the defense.
No,
he's got to trust it.
How can you?
Ira, there's no way.
No, he does.
There's no way that he looked at that defense and said, a defense that played four quarters of football and didn't force a punt.
They just made two.
Lee knows what I'm going to say, but it has to be further clarified. So they stopped him twice on fourth down, but both times they were in field goal range, and a field goal in that situation that we're talking about would have lost the Bucs the game. So he had never stopped them in a situation that current situation was leading right to.
So what I was saying is that feel that I'm talking about. Most coaches, most really good coaches like Reed, like they have a feel for the game. Like I feel like sometimes I don't know who he's listening to in that thing. I don't know what they're telling him. I don't know if they're going over what computers tell you to do or whatever. I don't care about any of that. I'm on the field. I know my players. We had no shot of stopping Washington in that game. They had all the momentum. They keep marching down the field. When you have – that was the time that I want to die with Baker Mayfield, and I want the ball in his hands, and I'm going to say, hey, listen, guys, I'm going to call a timeout right now. I have three. I'm going to call a timeout. Let's talk about this fourth down. There's 4 minutes left in the game. The idea that they're going to at least get 3 points. You knew as soon as we kicked that field goal, Washington was getting at least 3 points, if not seven. You knew it. Everybody in the whole world knew it, except for Todd Bowles. In that moment – I'm bringing Liam Cohen over, and I said, get me your best play. Whatever play that you haven't used in this game, give it to me. Fourth and three. Baker, the ball's yours. Go win the game for me.
They had just screwed up the two previous snaps.
Go win both the game for me.
Well, that's exactly why he did not go for it.
Sean, I'm going to say it again, and I dare you to disagree with me. I dare you.
Uh-oh.
28 out of the 31 other coaches would have kicked that field goal. I'm sorry. 28 out of 31. Why am I wrong? 28 out of 31 said, we got to tie this game up. I can't finish this drive with 0 points.
Are you sure it's not 23?
I think it's 27 or 28.
I'm so glad you brought this up. And this is going to tie into the draft. This is a wonderful segue. I'm going to tell you why. Because those other 28 teams that you're saying kick a field goal, I guarantee they have a pass rusher on their team that can close the game out.
Not a bad response, Sean.
Okay. That is a good response.
Let me explain to you what a closer is, Ira. Everybody talks about, well, the Bucs get enough sacks to be competitive. It's not about that. There's a reason why in baseball the closer comes out in the ninth, because he shuts the game down. We don't have that guy. We had that guy in Shaq Barrett and JPP and Warren Sapp. They would get a sack.
Rice.
When the other team was coming, Simeon Rice, who was one of my personal favorites. I'm sorry, Simeon, for leaving you out. So when the game is on the line, there's that closer that comes out, like a Hutchinson, right, a Boza,
a Watt.
T.J. Watt, George Kloffis for Kansas City. Keep in mind that I was all about drafting
He's
him.
A good player.
Bucks
He's
fans,
good player.
You guys all gave me crap about it on the emails because we traded down, and I said, You have Kloftis there. He's a pass rusher at Purdue. He can do the job. He's got the length and the size.
Great motor.
And guess what? All he's done is dominate since he's been in the NFL and won championships. But anyway, he also dominated the last playoff game. He had 3 sacks in the game. Anyway, just a small little pat on the back for myself on that one.
So in a way, you're giving Bowles a pass because you're saying he doesn't have that guy.
I'm not giving him a pass. What I'm saying is you know you don't have a closer. You don't pull your starter out if you don't have a closer. There's nobody that's going to get that sack that we need at the end of the game.
You're right.
That ends the game. How many times did we watch Bucks defenses end the game when the other team could have won? They're marching back, and on 2nd and 10, the sack came, and now it's 3rd and 17, and the game's over because you knew that's the way it was going to go. So,
Sean has spoken, Ira. Now,
good answer, Sean. Good answer.
So you like the answer?
Yeah, good answer.
You like the answer.
As they said in Animal House, he's on a roll.
Now, I don't want to – it's possible. I don't know if this would ever come from an offensive coordinator, but it's possible. After the 2 screw-ups, it's possible Liam Cohen was on the headset and just said, just fucking kick it, Todd. It's possible.
And we're going to regroup.
And we'll never know.
Yeah.
So that's something there, too. I hope that wasn't the case, but it is possible.
My example, similar to Sean's, and I'll keep it very short, was the Kansas City game. Talk about momentum. You had momentum. You had a nice comeback. You had a chance to win the game with that assassin wearing number 15 on the other sideline, and you choose to set
Sean,
him up.
Sean, that game bugged you too? Not going for two?
What do you think?
Sean.
Great answer.
All right, before we turn to a couple of things that the Bucks might be targeting and looking
Maybe
at.
Getting a closer at 19.
There you go. In 10 seconds, what is your favorite current offer right now at Bill Curry Ford?
The four-door Bronco that we have left in stock. We have about 15 four-door Broncos. They're extremely popular. I literally just got one for my son, his 16th birthday.
2024s, so, Sean?
A 24, yeah. I have brand new ones left. They're leasing for $345 a month. You know, with starts and taxes down, I think that's one of the best leases in the country, as well as the electric Mach-E with at least under $300 a month to drive a brand new Ford vehicle. I think those are driving down pricing to help people maintain their budgets and everything and at a time where every penny is necessary.
All right, Sean went over by 20 seconds, but they're all at BillCurryFord.com.
Yeah, that's a win for me.
You can see them, right? That's a win, yeah. See, he knew there was no closer on this end.
Yeah.
He went after
it. That was a hell of an answer by Sean on that They don't have the closer. That was very good.
So, Sean, we're here in the Bill Curry Ford Studios, a mile north of the stadium at the beautiful Bill Curry Ford dealership. What does everybody have to know about what's going on right now at Bill Curry Ford?
We are ending January with our leftovers from 2024. I have about 100 vehicles left that are discounted up to $20,000 off. I mean, we have some really great deals right now. Still dealing with the hurricane fallout. There's a lot of people that are still fighting their insurance companies to get diminished value and to get the proper value for their car that was totaled in the hurricane. And I want to let you know that I personally get involved, call the insurance companies with the customer, help them get the best value for their car so that I can then sell them a car, and then they become a customer of Bill Curry Ford forever.
I mean, that's
kind of like what I do.
When you said leftovers, Ira perked up. He loves leftovers. Loves a good good sandwich.
Yeah, well, right before the podcast, Steve, Ira's down there at the Bronco Brunchery.
Absolutely.
How was your lunch, Ira?
It was fantastic. I told the guy, wherever you're getting this bread, don't change a thing. It's fantastic. And the bread makes the sandwich, Sean. So your people are doing a fantastic job right here in the showroom.
It's very kind of you, Ira. So we're also continuing for 2025. We're also continuing free pickup and delivery and free mobile service to your home. So if you have a recall announced, nobody wants to open the mail and see that recall
right.
coming from the whatever
right.
brand it is. And then you look at it and like, oh, man, I don't have time to go get this done. And you put it on the kitchen table and you don't get the recall done. Well, what we do is we will send a mobile unit to your home, even on Saturday, you know, while you're home with your kids, not interrupting your business or your life. We'll fix the recall right in your driveway. and then for free.
And there's no charge.
There is zero charge. And then if you want me just to pick it up and bring it to Curry, if you would prefer, hey, I don't want business. My neighborhood has really weird neighbors, as everybody has these weird neighbors that tell on you with your homeowners association when you do anything. You leave a trash can out one day. If they don't, if that's okay, if you just want it picked up, we'll go for free, pick up your car, leave a loaner in the driveway with the keys in it, bring your car back, fix the recall, and then take it back for you.
Unbelievable. I almost want my car to break down.
Yeah. That is a fantastic initiative.
Sean, Bill Curry Ford, as we always say, family owned, makes a difference since 1960. And any last words for the good folks of Tampa Bay as it relates to the dealership? Not your passion for the draft?
As it relates to the dealership, I have a very exciting news that the new construction permit for Ford Pro Elite, which is going to be the largest commercial truck center in the South. So we're adding to the largest service department, the biggest service drive, 67 cars deep in the country. We're now adding the ability to work on vehicles the size of semi-trucks. So we're going to be able to really help individual businesses, not just family-owned businesses, which is my first priority, is the family-owned businesses. I will help the corporations, but they come second. But when their trucks break down or Publix needs a truck on a route, we'll be able to substitute a truck to Publix so they can keep delivering their bread to the people that want to buy bread in the morning. And then while we're working on their car here, we'll work up onto vehicles as high as 9,000s, which are our semi-trucks all the way down to,
nice,
to 250.
So there's very few dealerships that do that, right?
Wait until you see what it looks like. Beautiful.
Creating jobs, another thing for Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Oh, all right, so Ira, look, do you have any strong feeling? I don't know if anybody really does, and I say this because with the offensive coordinator hire, that's probably coming. I would guess there's going to be an offer made by the end of the week, maybe by the day that this podcast goes, because what would the Bucks be waiting for? Who are they going to start pulling out of the sky here? But my point is, Ira, that, and we sort of touched on it in a different way last podcast, and you said it yourself, can this offense be screwed up? Pieces
it was a little bit of a rhetorical question.
And you probably got a couple more pieces coming, some refinement there. And they just averaged 29.5 points a game. So whoever comes in has a tremendous bar.
Yeah.
Isn't going to be able to get credit like Dave Canales did for resurrecting Mayfield or Cohen, taking him to a new level. Where's Mayfield going? Is he going to throw 50 touchdowns and 75% completion rate? So it's a different mindset. Do you have a strong feeling right now about who they bring in?
Sean, to me, the key is the guy doesn't have to be a wizard. You don't have to be a wizard. You got talent. You've got skills. This is a top 5 offensive line. When's the last time we said that about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? They're a top 5 offensive line. And they're young. Sean, the old man is 26. That's it. Nobody passed that. If they lose Bredesen, so be it. It's still going to be a good offensive
line. We're not going to lose Bredesen.
I like it. So, Sean, if they take the guy from the Rams, I'm okay with it. I think Cone's laid a good foundation. I think Irving was the whole key to the offense. I just do. I think he was a one-man wrecking crew in terms of resuscitating the worst ground game in the league. You don't have to make great blocks for Bucky Irving. Just give him a crevice. And I love the fact, Sean, he ripped off 40-yard runs every freaking week.
He's a superstar. I mean, he's a legitimate.
I mean, 1,600 yards from scrimmage for a guy who didn't have a lot of touches the first half of the season?
I mean, I think next year you're going to see him talked about with the Saquons and the King Henrys. I mean, I think he's going to have that kind of impact.
So I don't think you need a wizard at offensive.
And we'll have him from day one, from week one. We'll have him from week one opening day. We'll see what he can do. If he's at 5.6 yards a carry, he's going
to. I think it's hard to screw this offense up at this point.
All right. You planted your flag.
So your arm's getting worked up.
I got a question.
So just so I, on that one, if that is true, if what he's saying is true, then why?
The sage, of course, is true.
Okay, well, let's just say the sage is 100% right, which he normally is, right? Why are we not giving more consideration to the two offensive assistants that are already here that know the offense, that know the play call? We wouldn't have to change much, right? We could change some terminology so that the defenses can't pick it up, but we could run a very similar offense to what Liam Cohen. We paid for him to have an offensive assistant, did we not? He had a guy that was in his back pocket for the whole year, right? That knows the entire offense. Then you had Thad Lewis, right? Which is being interviewed by another team. I don't know.
He went to Houston. He had some other calls for interviews as well.
So here's a guy that's in-house. That's being interviewed.
I'm not against the in-house guys. I don't know if they can lead an offense. Be the boss. I don't know. Not everybody can be the boss.
I know that. I meant scheme-wise, schematic-wise. Yeah. Instead of having to change our entire scheme with whoever's coming in, wouldn't it be easier? Could we just run the same type of offense that Liam Cohen ran last year and promote somebody within? Is that not an option?
If everything's even, that should be an option, but I don't think everything's even.
Okay. Mayfield says, let's go with Thad Lewis. I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to do it. That's I think it's fair. All about Mayfield at this point.
The Rams offense is not like going from a wishbone to an NFL offense.
You think that Mayfield wants somebody from the outside?
I don't know what Mayfield wants.
We don't know that, Sean. We don't know that.
How well do you know this offensive assistant that Liam Cohen had last year? How well do you know him, the coach?
Grizzard.
I just know by his resume, and his resume looks thin to me.
He's young. What is he, 29?
34.
Oh, is he he looks like a child.
With the Steelhouse guy. But I'm sorry. People can throw rocks at me. I don't give a damn. If you worked for Adam Gase, I want nothing to do with you.
He has weird eyes.
Is this the same? Oh, no, it's this Kaylee guy they're talking about. Oh, he worked for Bill Belichick. Do we really need to go down that road? I mean, I got nothing against these guys. I trust Light and Bowles. They have a track record for hiring offensive coordinators. I trust what those guys do. But compared to a Shieldhouse, for example, I think these guys' resumes are thin.
Well, Sean, the bottom line is, well, those guys, nobody really knows if they can lead or if they can call plays. So everybody who talks about them in that realm is just guessing.
And you could also say the same thing to a degree. With Shieldhouse,
at least he did in college.
At least he has experience as offensive coordinator.
Two quick ones, same topic. One, your confidence level, Lavonte David will be back. And two, did he lose a step last season?
One, I mean, I can only hope that he comes back, because if you look at what we have in the cover.
You don't want to think about him not coming.
I don't want to think about our team without him on it.
I've got his email address. I could email him while we're on the podcast.
He is just every single thing that represents Tampa. In our city, in our people, in our blue collar, you know, work ethic. Like, he's everything that I've ever wanted in a linebacker. He deserves the Hall of Fame. You know, he deserves a lot of things. And I would love to see him come back. And I know I didn't think that he lost a step. He always missed some tackles. Like, I know we always held him to such a standard where, oh gosh, he's lost a step because he missed a couple of tackles in the Washington game. But he's always overrun some tackles. He's never been 100% sure of a tackler. He's just usually in position. I didn't see him out of position in a lot of those games. I thought he was in position to make plays. So when somebody loses a step, it's usually when we saw Derek Brooks lose a step, that's a losing a step. And that's nothing against Derek Brooks. He's your friend. He's a friend of everybody in Tampa. What I'm saying is, when he had that hamstring injury,
yes, it was obvious.
It was bad. This is not what I see in Lavonte David. I think he has another year. And by the way, if we bring in a rookie, which, again, this is another segue, but if we bring in a rookie, you know, like Jihad Campbell, we talked about him out of Alabama, we bring somebody like him in to play Mike, he's going to need somebody like Devontae just for 1 year to, like, show a star linebacker.
That's a great point.
You know,
great
what
point.
he can do.
By the way, Campbell then, without Alabama, is it Jihad? Because I always pronounce it Shihad, and I kind of like that with a linebacker, Shihad.
So it's spelled Jihad.
Okay.
Right?
Like,
right.
I want to see a linebacker.
I've heard it with no J, with no H, and then Campbell. So it depends on where you go to hear it. If you go to Google and you ask him to pronounce it.
Well, what I do know is that Ira would see him and just call him, JC, come over here.
I just like the fact that you would have a linebacker. His name is Jihad.
Sean, we'll think the Bucs are locked in? To get an edge rusher with the first round draft pick. You think Light feels he's in a straitjacket?
Well, forget about what Light feels. Let's just send it to Sean this way because Light doesn't even know who's coming back to his team.
Give me three guys they can take
at 19,
Sean. I
know we're going to talk about this all summer, so I know. Let's just touch on a couple of names to give them a couple of names, right?
Okay. The East-West Shrine game is coming up,
right,
as is the Senior Bowl. Sean, who's a few edge rushers that people need to look at? And can you tell Ira if one of these guys is maybe fits the Light mold?
Okay, so Mike Green out of Marshall, right? 6'3", former wide receiver, had 17 and a half sacks last year, has 4 pass rushing moves, right? Has dominated the Senior Bowl yesterday.
That's 3 more than Joe Tryon Soyinka.
Three more?
That's three more pass rushing moves.
Oh, 3 more.
Then
I thought you meant sacks. He had 17 and a half sacks. So everybody goes, well, he played at Marshall, but he actually showed up against Ohio State, some of the bigger schools.
So did Randy Moss.
This is a real pass rusher with real twitch. Lee, we're not going to talk about developing a pass rusher. Mm. All I want to do is draft a pass rusher that from day one can get to the quarterback. Not in pass coverage. I don't want him guarding Eckler down the field. I just want him to put a hand in the ground like this on a 4-point stance and just go after the quarterback, right? That we need a closer. You know, Green is one that I was going to talk about. And then James Pierce Jr., I think, is a phenomenal talent out of Tennessee. And this is a guy that's had 9.5 sacks, 7.5 sacks this past year. He was considered to be possibly the first pick or the second pick last year in the draft had he come out. It was a quarterback draft, so he decided, I'll let the quarterbacks all go because we had, and I was correct last year when I said that it was going to be the biggest quarterback year ever, and it was. And all those quarterbacks right now look like they're all franchise quarterbacks. So we'll see how that goes, which would be different than 83.
Could they both be realistically there at 19? Yes. Realistically.
Yes. Now,
Mike Green, really? At 19?
Well, remember, he started out. If you're going to you're gonna laugh at how the draft works. I mean, you guys all know. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. He started out as a second-round draft pick
really?
To start the week. And now they're saying first-round draft pick. And now they're saying late first-round.
Can I, Phil?
He needs to put on weight.
I put this on Twitter, and I guess people didn't catch the sarcasm. I retweeted it with the sarcasm tag. But I could just envision a meeting that Light has with Todd Bowles. And Light starts telling about this Mike Green. And the very first thing out of Bowles' mouth is, Can he cover Drake London?
That's tough, Lee. That's a tough one.
It's awfully tough to watch.
I laughed at it.
Go to Twitter, search Mike Green. What you're going to see is his pancaking of an offensive lineman in one-on-one drills, which you don't hear that phrase often from a defensive end. But he literally flattens the guy
funny thing is,
at the Senior Bowl. So that went viral. So he's just that one video is going to make it's going to make him a fan first-round pick, whether he really is. In front offices will be very interesting, but that video.
I hope he's there at 19, just because he's a very polished pass rusher for who he is coming out. Typically, you develop pass rushers in the NFL. That's typically the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular team, like you could take James Pierce Jr. right and put him in day one and just say, hey, go eat, you know, go hunt,
right?
And that's a guy that doesn't need much help. He's physically gifted. He's got pass rushing moves. He's dominated the SEC. He's led the team in tackles for loss. This is a guy that plays the backfield, plays the run. Todd Bowles would love that because the guy eats the run up. Mike Green, not so good against the run, right? But he's a pass rusher.
He's not good enough for Bowles.
He played Shaq Barrett all those years.
And then I touched on Campbell, the linebacker of Alabama, who was my favorite linebacker. If you're going to have a first-round linebacker.
What was the name again?
Jihad, whatever.
He keeps saying Jihad. He's got me saying it. Jihad Campbell.
It's like Kaufman. If you say it long enough, you change Ira's name.
Well, I get these emails like, Sean, you mispronounce names all the time. These guys don't understand. I do this all from memory. When I talk for 30 minutes on my podcast, it's just me talking.
I don't have
a pronunciation guide. And then when you have all of these players in your head, like I'm sitting here thinking about Lamar Thomas was a wide receiver we drafted with Jameel Green out of Florida, you know, back in the day when our quarterback was a Florida State quarterback named, Casey. So
Weldon?
Yeah, Casey Weldon. So my point is all these names are stuck in my head. So sometimes they do come out wrong.
Guy a run stuffer or a cover guy, Sean?
Cover, run, and can rush the passer. He is, to me, he's a complete linebacker in the form of famous linebackers like Derek Brooks and Levante David. He's going to be another. He would be in that.
Like a Roquan Smith type?
Very similar. Yeah, correct. I mean, this guy's an
off-the-ball
linebacker. Here's the thing is, what is the value of an off-the-ball linebacker in today's NFL? You don't know. This is a guy that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, would be a top 10 pick.
Now it's devalued.
Correct. Yeah. Corner. Right? So if you're not going to have a pass rush, let's just say they don't go pass rush in the first round.
Or they use one in free agency. Or they pick one up in free agency, let's say.
Okay, I'll hold my breath on that.
All right.
So let's say we need a better corner. We need to upgrade our corners. Benjamin Morrison is a guy that we've talked about. A lot of people have talked about. He was going to be a top 10 pick out of Notre Dame corner. Ball hawk, 7 interception guy, unbelievable number one. He's projected to be like a Sauce Gardner.
7 interceptions. Corner. That'll match the Bucks total for 2024.
Notre Dame guy, right?
Yeah, Notre Dame guy.
Yeah, who covered Chris Olave like a blanket.
Right, he is projected to be like a Sauce Gardner. He's a little, he's same size as Sauce, a little smaller guy.
I'm sorry, not Chris Olave, Harrison. He covered Harrison like a blanket.
Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah. He's the one that was famously that covered him in the
All right, so another guy to watch
in the Lou Holtz
game.
But
he's not my favorite guy because he's coming off of injury and he's on the smaller side, right? Which I understand. Like we need ball hawks. We need guys that can get the ball and intercept the ball.
Give us one more guy to watch this weekend.
Darian Porter out of Iowa State. 6'3", low 200s, ripped, right, ran a 4.38. We don't know what he's going to run at the combine.
6'3", corner?
Yeah, 6'3", corner. He's got 33-inch arms, so he's going to have that.
So he's Jamel Dean is what you're saying.
He's Jamel Dean.
Yeah.
And you know that Todd Bowles
He loves the long corners. He's got to have them long.
This guy can play the
McCollum.
Run.
McCollum, right?
This guy can play the run, and then if he's behind, he can get his arms around and knock the ball down. But this guy's a physical first-round corner. You know, I like him a lot just because he plays with physicality.
So
we
get to see him in the Senior Bowl?
Yes.
All right. Sage, I know you got to get home to watch the Pro Bowl games. First is tonight, Thursday.
Oh my goodness!
Well, you know you'll see if this the flag football, you know the skills and all that. I know you like all that. You get your food laid out. I'll ask you a final question, and we'll say now a fantastic goodbye to Sean Sullivan.
I got one question for Sean before.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
On Saturday, there's a Senior Bowl Saturday, right, Sean?
Yep.
So, do you already have it worked out with your wife? Like, here's $500, get rid of the kids.
So, you know, I don't always watch this stuff in real time because of my schedule.
Okay.
So, what I do is if I have something going on or busy, I just record everything, and then when I know when my wife goes to bed, which is usually she's an early sleeper, she goes at like 9:30, she's out. The kids are, you know, the kids are getting grown, so they kind of just disappear. I don't know where they are. You know, and then I'll sit there till 2 or 3 in the morning just watching tape.
So that's what I was going to do. He's going to wait for Carrie to go to sleep and he'll watch the Pro Bowl game.
I got one more comment to make to Sean, not a question, before we let him go. First of all, we appreciate you joining us, Sean. It's always entertaining and informative. If I could go in a time machine, and no, I don't want to go back to the 17th century. All I want to do is go back to the Washington game. And when Austin Eckler caught that ball coming out the left flank on a critical play, and the only guy that was near him was Yaya Diaby, I wish I was sitting with Sean Sullivan right at that moment to see whether it was a sneaker or a cup. He threw something at his TV screen, and I wish I would have been there for Sean Sullivan on that particular play.
That was not a good point for me. I mean, that was a low point in the game for me.
That was third down, right, Steve? That was third down, I believe it was.
I got to say, Yaya was right there. He just didn't make the play.
Again, it was a wheel route from one of the fastest running backs in the NFL, and we have a 3-4 outside linebacker trying to run with him.
Steve's right. He did the best he could.
Yeah, he did.
But he was a step back.
His long arms, I mean, he literally was a step away from breaking that, from getting that play taken care of. Anyway, it was a very important part of the game, and it really cost us in having that happen. But again, we didn't have linebacker depth. Yaya seems to be faster than any linebacker we had besides David. I mean, if you think about it, he's not designed to do that, right? But who are you going to put? I mean, who was the J.J. Russell? Is he running around there? You got a guy, V. Jones, that took a year to figure out our defense.
That's still cracks.
You're going to ask Anthony Nelson to cover?
You signed Deion Jones, and he didn't play. So, I mean, who's K.J. Britt's not running with Eckler? So I guess he's like, hey, I guess Kansi would have been a better choice. I guess we could have had Kansi running.
Is anybody going to say, hey, maybe our inside linebackers coach isn't very good? Is anybody going to say that? You know, I don't know if they think that way at $1. You know how it goes with the loyalty and some of that stuff.
All right, what's your question?
All right, my last one for you, Ira. And again, Sean, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, guys.
We'll be with you. Fun stuff. We'll be looking out for your podcast breakdowns when you fire up from peak draft season.
Senior Bowl and East-West Shrine Game wrap-up. You know, the players that succeeded, I'll be doing that. That'll be releasing next week.
BillCurryFord.com. You can find Sean at his part-time job here at Bill Curry Ford when he's not draft guruing. He's here.
Their initiatives are extraordinary.
A mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. My last question for you, Ira. I'm even going to shut off Sean's microphone here. You've been unplugged, Sean.
What if he wants to weigh in on this answer?
No, I'm not even going to weigh in. I'm just going to ask you. Mike Evans, we're going to – Lee can weigh in. Lee's approved to weigh in. This is you and Lee.
All right.
Mike Evans, we're going to see him at the Pro Bowl this weekend. Great season. The Buccaneers came out a year ago saying, Mike Evans, Buccaneer for life, Buccaneer for life. He's a Buccaneer for life. The team kept saying, not just fans, team kept saying Buccaneer for life. All I know is that was a bunch of nonsense. He enters this season in the final year of his contract. Are they going to extend him to avoid what you saw with your own eyes? Evans not looking too happy about not getting a new contract. What do you think happens there? You think they do anything to maybe extend Evans, really make him a Buccaneer for life, and give themselves some cap room to play with?
I don't know how many more years Mike Evans wants to play. For me, he looks like a pretty young 31-year-old. I would extend him another year. I'm not going to give him a 3-year extension, but I'd extend him another year and then play it as it goes. He can't go on forever, and I think it's fair to say, Lee, that at his age, while he's still extremely productive, he's more prone to injury, and he doesn't recover from injuries the same as when he was 22. So, you know, I want him to be a Buck, and I want him to finish his career as a Buck. I think he'll play 2 or 3 more years tops in the NFL, I think.
The key element you said was doesn't recover as quickly. That's a very good point. He's going to be 32 next season. That's up there for receivers.
It is.
That's up there. Was his contract up this year, 2025?
2025 is his final year.
I had to I'd have to see, like midway through the season possibly. But I know what Steve's talking about. Rework his deal now so you have money to play with to bring some defenders in.
I'd like to clear his mind before the season starts and give him another one.
That's fair.
We like when you have a clear mind, Ira, and we'll see you next time.